This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Avoiding a jerk. That's coming up. It's called a tease, Greg.
Wow.
Yes. I like that befuddled look because...
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out who you're talking about.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is you're gonna have to keep listening.
Oh,
what's it called? Forced listening.
Yes, it is.
Sometimes it's better than a traffic wreck. Well, no. Let's be honest. No, it's not. Nothing's better than a traffic wreck to force people to listen.
Mm-hmm.
It is 8:06, by the way. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is... always yes. All right, I'll get to the jerk story, but first, the chance during Trump's speech when the Democrats were trying to interfere and chants started USA, USA.
That's awesome.
I love it. Which country should be represented there? USA. Oh, but some of those bizarre lefties and actually a couple of Republicans love flying that Ukrainian flag to show their support. Well, the guy who's new to the Senate, but is old school in thought process, is doing the right thing, I think. Now, Congresswoman Kat Kamek was part of getting Ukrainian flags removed from where the House meets.
Right.
This guy is going a little step further. Senator Bernie Moreno, the Republican from Ohio, who built up a great chain of car dealerships after coming to America from Colombia legally.
What?
And he loves this country. A legal immigrant from Colombia.
Wow.
And he said that flying foreign flags like Ukraine's in Congress is offensive to Americans. When I came here to this country as a child, I swore allegiance to America and America alone, which is why it's so deeply offensive to me to see elected officials flying the flags of foreign nations like Ukraine in the halls of Congress. We swore an oath to the American people we would always put them first. Let's start acting like it and stop sending billions overseas on endless wars when average Americans are struggling. The new bill he introduced called the Allegiance Act would make it illegal for members of Congress to use official funds to purchase any nation's flags other than the American flag, and it would also prohibit the display on Capitol grounds of a nation's flag that is not a U.S. flag. It's a two-page bill, and it comes as Democrats and even some establishment Republicans try to rally support for Ukraine after last week's explosive Oval Office meeting between Zelensky and President Trump. Well, Zelensky, in my opinion, erupted and went off the rails in an unhinged tirade and didn't do anything close to what he promised to do. He didn't sign the agreement or anything else. And he made everybody in the room look not so great. It wasn't great optics for anybody.
No.
And he insulted J.D. Vance. And my understanding is he may have insulted him, like, using a Russian word. And if that's true, man, I would You know, J.D. Vance versus...
He'll take you on back.
Yeah.
You funny
versus
man.
Zelensky.
Yeah, comedian.
And maybe that's what Zelensky needs. Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't mind sending, you know, his people out there to take a whooping and maybe get killed and slaughtered. But I'd like to see, you know, him step up. And so, yeah. That whole dust up ends with Trump winning, gaining even more leverage than he already had. Now, he cut off military aid to Ukraine, stopped sharing intelligence, and that did that force Zelensky's hand? Of course it did. Do you think he wants to come back with his hat in hand and admit he was an ass? No, he doesn't want to do that, but he was, and he should. Yep. So, we'll see if we can get the deal done and the deal signed, because in a letter that President Trump shared...
The letter reads, Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer. Nobody wants peace more than the Ukrainians, he said. My team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get a peace that lasts.
And what else I would add in there is I'd say, put on some lip gloss because my butt skin's dry.
Wow.
Too much?
Didn't see that one, Kevin.
Too far?
Yeah.
All right.
I get it.
Look, he was way out of line. I don't care. Others can slice it and dice it however they want. Yeah. He was out of line.
Yeah, you don't try to ambush the whole scenario because you're on live TV and you think you can.
Yeah, I get it. You got to play the tough guy role in other circumstances, to keep your base riled up and during very difficult times. But that's not how you do it. Chinese Premier Li Qiang on Wednesday announced a 7.5% increase in military spending for 2025, ostensibly due to increasing tensions with the U.S. and Taiwan. Li also announced more economic stimulus spending on Wednesday to cope with the changes unseen in a century, quote-unquote, that are unfolding across the world at a faster pace than ever before. The increased military budget announced by Li was similar to spending increases from 2023 and well below the increases of over 10% in many annual budgets over the past 3 decades. Analysts told Radio Free Asia on Wednesday that the actual increase in defense spending could be much higher than the figure put forward by Li, possibly as high as 40%, because China has a tendency to hide military spending in the budgets for other agencies and programs. Li insisted that China still resolutely opposes any bid for independence by Taiwan, so an increased military budget was necessary to keep up pressure on the island. But he said Beijing would rather accomplish reunification peacefully. So we're going to do it peacefully, but we're going to spend a little bit more money on our military.
Just in case.
In case.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is interesting because economically, my understanding is they're not doing all that well.
Mm-mm.
Now, again, you know, it's not like we can go in there and crack their books and see it from that perspective. Right. But based on some of the other things that have been occurring and really a devaluation for sure of real estate, prime real estate.
Right.
I don't know what else is occurring there economically, but my understanding is not great.
But it is China, so when it comes to spending money on the military or their people, you think they really care?
Because their people are the people, not individual people with butts and feelings, per se.
Yeah.
It's all for mother country.
Hey, quick traffic note, I-75 southbound. This is going to be around mile 412. Sky Listener reporting a wheelchair is in the traffic lane. I-75 south around mile 412.
You know, sad news. Democrat Congressman Sylvester Turner, a Democrat from Texas, died suddenly. And it took place right after Trump's speech and just weeks after taking office. And I guess confirmation coming from the city of Houston Wednesday morning. Turner, 70, won a seat in November, taking the place of the late Representative Sheila Jackson Lee. He assumed office in January, said to have attended Trump's speech on Tuesday night. Prior to the speech, he posted on his X platform a warning against cuts to Medicaid. And according to CBS News, citing unnamed sources, Turner, who also served as the mayor of Houston, began to feel unwell Tuesday night. The cause of his untimely death is not publicly known.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Prayers go out for his family. Condolences. Apparently, it was very, very sudden. He otherwise, I guess, was reported to be in pretty good health. All right. Oh, get rid of the jerk.
Yeah.
So, apparently, there's a woman who was on a dating app, and she said, I saw red flag behavior.
Okay.
And I decided, no. And apparently, it was on, what's it called? Hinge. Hinge is a website. And she said, well, you know, we were going to get together.
Right.
And he asked me to meet him at 8:30 p.m. at a spot in an area that she wasn't familiar with, and it was bordering kind of a shady area.
Mm.
And she looked up the ice cream parlor where they were going to meet,
yeah.
And it was rated a 3.4.
Oh.
Which is not very good either, apparently.
No, it's not.
And she said, I politely told him I wasn't feeling that spot and sent two other suggestions, by the way, rated 4.7 and 4.8. And one of them was even closer to the town that he supposedly lived in.
Okay.
And so I asked if either of these would work for him. He responded, nope. I sent you a spot. If that doesn't work for you, then it is what it is.
Whoa. Okay, yeah, jerk. Yeah.
Yeah, she goes, what,
right.
What kind of red flag ass behavior is that?
Wow.
And, yeah. And she basically said, if you're not going to add value to my life, I'd rather stay single. I'm old school and would really rather meet someone in person.
Yeah.
So red flag for the jerk.
Big time.
Yeah. I gave you the spot. You know, it is what
right.
it is.
No.
That's if that's how you're starting out.
It's not going to get better.
Right. Wow. Probably doesn't respect his mama.
Probably not.
It is 8:17. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about on 97.3 The Sky. I don't believe President Trump mentioned it in his speech, and that was the situation, the current situation between Israel, Hamas, and the captives, the hostages. I don't believe he mentioned that. So we're going to cover it right now. It's 8:21 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. But President Trump yesterday threatened further destruction of Gaza if all the remaining hostages were not released. And basically, he said, to the people of Gaza, a beautiful future awaits, but not if you hold hostages. If you do, you are dead, dead in all capitals. His comments follow Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's warning of consequences that you cannot imagine if Hamas does not hand over remaining hostages seized in the October 7th attack. The first phase of ceasefire ended over the weekend after 6 weeks of relative calm that included exchanges of Israeli hostages for Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails. Yeah, what was it, like a 200-to-1 swap rate?
It just never seems equitable,
not
as
even,
they like to say. No.
Not even close.
Not a bit.
Look, here's the problem, okay? I don't think that the president or the prime minister of Israel are what you would call bluffing. I don't believe they're bluffing. I believe they will deliver quite a strike, shall we say, if the hostages are not returned in whatever they consider a timely manner. But here's the problem. I don't think it would be, you know, members of Hamas themselves that are going to say yay or nay on this. It is going to be by their leaders who have completely isolated themselves. These are the people that, you know, when Iran sends them money,
sure,
they scrape a little more off the top for them. And mm-hmm. what some describe as a lavish lifestyle in other countries like Yemen,
right,
while their followers do the dirty work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this could be another one of those cases where they say, okay, well, yeah, let's see what you got. Because what do they have to lose? That they'll use it for propaganda to try to raise and get more money from Iran and other sources. They don't care about the Hamas lives.
Well, but it depends on who we go after. We've gone after leadership before out of country.
Well, and that...
That's what you got to do.
And that's exactly what I'm hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
That, yeah, some people think there'll be some major strike somewhere else, but I think that's what they... Yeah, I think they attempted to do it to some extent, but you've got to have availability of target. It's got right. to be actionable. Yep. And I don't think maybe they've had much of that so far, but I bet they're working on it.
Yeah, we got one a month or two ago, though. Remember, like, yep. totally unexpected. He had didn't even see it coming. You know,
yeah.
You need more of that, more of a very strategic strike.
They, I think that the Hamas leadership is laying low.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Trump's hawkish language came after the United States confirmed unprecedented direct talks with Hamas, with the U.S. envoy on hostage affairs, Adam Bowler, discussing American hostages. Look, dialogue and talking to people around the world to do what's in the best interest of the American people is something that the president believes is right, according to the White House Secretary Caroline Leavitt. The U.S. has refused direct contact with the Palestinian militants since banning them as a terrorist organization in 1997. But Leavitt said that the hostage envoy, in his role, has the authority to talk to anyone. All right, five Americans are believed to remain among the hostages. Four of them have been confirmed dead, and the other, Eden Alexander, is believed, however, to be alive. The Hamas assault, in case you need to be reminded, resulted in the deaths of 1,218 people, most of them civilians, a lot of them very innocent young people, female, teenagers. While the Israel military retaliation in Gaza has killed at least 48,440 people. Of course, that's also mostly civilians as well. But that has always kind of been the mantra, that if you strike us, we will strike back twice as hard. And yet, still, they're able to muster enough radicals to continue to, to put forth something like was put forth October 7th and the killing of mm-hmm. innocent people, babies.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, just really atrocious acts. So I don't know what's going to happen here with a greater threat by the president and by the prime minister in Israel. Anything's possible.
Wow.
But we hope, and I know that Trump desires, you know, a peaceful solution there. But I don't know if it is going to be all that peaceful. We'll see. I hope for that. Rut-row.
What? What you got?
Sometimes you got to call a cab.
Yeah.
Or Uber.
Sure.
Or Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
The chief of staff for House Speaker Mike Johnson was reportedly arrested
Uh-oh.
On a drunk driving charge after President Donald Trump delivered his presidential address to a joint session of Congress. Hayden Haynes serves as Jordan's chief of staff, arrested for drunk driving after his car struck a Capitol vehicle around 11:40 p.m.
That's a little embarrassing.
Yeah. According to a police report, Haynes was released, given a citation to appear in court. Haynes is described as being trusted and has served Johnson's chief of staff since he was voted in as Speaker of the House October of 2023. Apparently, it was, you know, pretty minor. A driver backed into a parked vehicle last night around 11:40 p.m., the Capitol Police confirmed. We responded and arrested them for DUI. Ruh-roh. But I know the speaker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that doesn't really work that well. Unless it's involving Vince Foster.
Ooh.
But that's a different story.
Yeah, it is.
You have to Google that for yourself. Well, do a real search. 8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and the Bob Rose Show podcast available wherever you normally get your podcasts. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Pump it up, my friends. It is Thursday, after all. Good morning and welcome. It is 8:33. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. One of your top stories, Trump is exempting automakers from tariffs at least for a month. Is that what the market reacted to when it came back a little bit yesterday after having some downwards times there? I'm not sure. But the president is giving the automakers some time to maybe adjust. Maybe they'll come up with a plan. Maybe like Honda, instead of building a plant in Mexico, they just recently announced, no, we're actually going to build that in Indiana.
There you go.
So
gotta love it.
Yeah, look, and again, the president, what is he attempting to do? He's attempting to make America great again. Manufacturing is a part of that. And for years, from a tariff perspective, we have been taken advantage of. That's not something Trump made up. It is fact. And he wants to try to get us to an even playing field. And that's why he calls the tariffs reciprocal. Because they have placed tariffs on our goods going to many of these other countries, but we hadn't placed any tariff on them. So it's pretty basic. You know, the old fair is fair.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll dig into that a little bit further. But I do want to thank everybody who signed up for the Bob Rose Golf Scramble Friday, April 4th, presented by Gainesville Harley-Davidson on 97.3 The Sky. Always a premier event. At 100% of the proceeds benefit the great local work done at the Arc of Alachua County with the developmentally disabled. So it is sold out from a playing perspective, but we could use some volunteers at Hawkstone Golf and Country Club on April the 4th. That's a Friday. If you are available, please reach out to ARC's Mark Johnson. Give Mark a call at 352-246-3516, and hopefully I will see you there. Thanks in advance for all the awesome support that this has gotten over the decades, actually. Hard to believe. I started it when I was 8.
Yeah, but you know, you knew it had a potential. So, you know.
Actually, a guy named Joe Gervin, who was a local sportscaster on the WCJB, mm-hmm. He's the one who started it, and then he moved for a better job.
Gotcha.
God bless him, and he was a great guy. And he kind of turned the reins over to me, and I'm proud to represent now for, gosh, got to be, I think, over 20 for me.
And look what it's done for your golf game. Okay, maybe not.
Well, I don't get to play in the tournament, and
right.
I'm not sure that I would want to burden anybody else with my play. Yeah.
But you get to meet a lot of folks, and that's what you really, you know, you're out there.
Well, it's
meet
yeah.
the people.
Thank the people who support this cause of the developmentally disabled being treated so well by the Arc of Alachua County. Mm-hmm. So, you know, very blessed to be in that situation and position.
Oh, yeah.
So, you've seen cars maybe that try to mimic the look of, well, sometimes it's an old police car and they try to leave it as policey as they can.
Oh, probably
yeah. Probably seen that.
Sure.
You may have seen a couple of old Torinos mm-hmm. that had a Starsky and Hutch stripe.
Love that.
So, this isn't necessarily a new concept. The idea is sort of clone, mm-hmm. you know, a cool vehicle or a law enforcement vehicle. But I think they've stepped up the game a little bit here, and this could be dangerous. Clearly, they're breaking the law. They're painting up some vehicles to look like Border Patrol vehicles.
Ooh.
So they can get around the crackdown, and you know, it's some human smugglers. So these are not good folks. They've turned to cloning Border Patrol vehicles to illegally transfer migrants into the U.S. An immigration attorney, Misha Moulton, managing partner Misha Moulton Law in Vegas, told Fox that cloning border vehicles is not a new phenomenon. She said criminal organizations are consistently finding new ways to bypass border security. Under the new Trump administration, their efforts have increased because of the president's mandate to halt illegal immigration. So Moulton said that she has witnessed firsthand how these operations create legal chaos, put lives at risk, and strain law enforcement resources. And man, they really have gained a foothold since this whole, you know, borderless country that we lived in for the past 4 years. The cloning of vehicles is part of a longstanding human smuggling operation in the U.S. And the attorney Moulton said the smuggling networks profit off of desperation, leaving many migrants trafficked as they illegally enter the U.S. Once they're in the country, they may be left stranded. They may be extorted or forced into labor. These organizations are also using fake law enforcement vehicles to transport drugs, weapons, and other illegal goods, making it even harder for officials to tell real agents from the criminals impersonating them. And so, yeah, they'll be trying to clamp down on that. That's very time-consuming, too, and dangerous, really. But they're at least somebody who maybe was innocently kind of copying that was a Florida man. This happened around Arcadia. DeSoto County Sheriff's Office released a public service announcement warning residents of a fake pickup truck that looked like Border Patrol had been painted up like that.
Yeah.
And they pulled the guy over and they looked closer. It did say Border Patrol. So they were relieved by that.
It did, however, say
Booty Patrol.
I could be wrong, but if I were to guess, this is probably like a college-age guy, maybe in his mid-20s, possibly, just if I were guessing.
Yeah, and how successful is that in getting said booty, right?
Or maybe he's just having fun, and probably his friends love it. They think it's hilarious.
Well, if there's one thing the attractive young ladies are looking for is a ride in the old Booty Patrol vehicle.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe not the guys.
Probably not real good for your reputation.
But I think the guys think it's funny.
And that area is still, you know, small town Americana.
Yeah.
Everybody knows everybody still, for the most part, in DeSoto County, although it's grown substantially. Like everything else has since my days of heading out to Arcadia occasionally, playing football or baseball back in the day. Peyton McNabb was the young woman who was seriously injured by a transgender volleyball player. She ripped the congressional Democrats who greeted her with a rude, cold shoulder during Trump's address on Tuesday evening. This isn't a made-up thing. She absolutely really did suffer trauma, physical and mental injuries, when she was injured by a more powerful transgender opponent during a high school volleyball game. And so during Trump's address, she was in the gallery. When the president honored her from the podium, none of the Democrats clapped for her. The young woman, now an activist to protect women's sports, said the snub was heartbreaking. Quote, last night, just overall, the Democrat Party was so disrespectful, and they didn't stand up for any of the guests. They didn't even stand up for DJ Daniel, who is the young boy who survived brain cancer. They didn't stand up for Lakin Riley's family, whose daughter literally suffered a traumatic death that should have never happened. And every other guest that was there had some sort of powerful story, and they didn't clap for any of that. So yeah, it was heartbreaking. And honestly, I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm not. And there were many Democrats dressed in pink. And historically, that has usually been attached to something about women's rights or breast cancer awareness or some other women-related type things. But in this case, none of them that were wearing pink voted to keep biological males out of women's sports.
There's something wrong with that concept.
Yeah, how can you say you support women? Even if you say, oh, I support, you know, women and, you know, their idea to do what they want with their bodies. Well, what if they don't want their bodies physically exposed to a stronger participant who is stronger only because they were born male.
Right.
But I guess they don't. They don't quite. It's not that they don't understand it. I guess they
just have to ignore it totally because of the agenda.
They put their flag in that sort of political ground, if you will, and they'll protect it even when it's wrong. Yes.
And there's no logic to their thinking whatsoever.
None.
Not at all.
No, definitely lacking that. But don't worry, Democrats. You've got somebody coming to the rescue. Going to help redirect the Democrat Party. Now, if you noticed, if you listened, the woman who is a newcomer from Michigan, a Democrat, gave the rebuttal. And she actually sounded extremely moderate versus most of the rest of her party.
Well, she's still, I think, a freshman, so they haven't gotten to her totally yet.
Well, clearly not. And I thought, well, maybe she's the voice of a new direction that they're going to take. Of course, it won't go without a battle. No. The squad is not going to be open to anything moderate, let alone all things moderate. And so they found a guy who's going to rescue them, Roger Lau. Now, he's got experience. He worked for a senator. And so you'd think, okay, what's he going to do? Well, it turns out that this guy, Roger Lau, he's been hired as director of the DNC. And he's got a long, extensive career, including working on campaigns for Senator Elizabeth Warren. Apparently, there's multiple instances of Lau associating with progressive causes, including signing a letter in 2020 that claimed the United States is built on racism and genocide. So here you have another upbeat, positive thinker representing the DNC.
Right.
Yeah. Do all your speeches. Start out with that.
Yeah.
Just say, yeah, I'm here representing a party in a country that's based on and built on racism and genocide.
That's encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. And he also was big into the Black Lives Matter movement.
Oh, my goodness.
Taking part in video that was posted on YouTube recently. Anyway, the list goes on. Very, very progressive. So if that's going to be the rescuer of the Democrat Party, good luck with that. Keep going. You're doing fine, Democrats. Keep up the good work. 8:45, and you're listening to the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live in loco on 97.3 The Sky. Another gorgeous day filled with sunshine. Love it. And welcome and good morning. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It is 8:49 right now, and so much going on. You know, the last time that they cleaned up a big city for a leader was San Francisco. They cleaned it up for the president of China. How nice. Now, I also benefited from that when I made a visit out there last year, and I have to say, they really did a great job, and the other people that knew the area said, you would be impressed and surprised by how good it looks now if you had seen it before. Not so good. Well, same thing going on in Washington, D.C. And President Trump finally had enough. And he notified the D.C. mayor, Muriel Bowser, bow, and said, hey, ma'am, you need to clean up all this unsightly homeless encampment stuff within the city, or the federal government will be forced to do it for you. Yeah. It was a Truth Social post on Wednesday. The president specifically referenced areas near the State Department and the White House that are populated with homeless encampments that need to be removed, adding that the nation's capital must become clean, in all caps, and safe, in all caps. Yep. And if she's not capable, we'll do it for her. Thank you, Mayor Bowser, for your efforts on behalf of the citizens of our country. Hopefully you will be successful. So look, he made it a very positive thing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, not to go rabbit hole, but I got to tell you, Trump is Trump, and watching Trump speak is always a treat. There's always going to be something in there. But the speech he gave the other night, his comedic timing was even better than normal.
There was a lot of laughter, wasn't there?
There really was. Yeah. He was so at ease, even though knowing he'd been warned the Democrats are going to act up. This is going to happen. That talk about unflappable.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
The guy really was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Even if, I had to tell you, even if you were, if you're not a fan, but yet you saw that performance, if you had just a little bit of an open mind, there's no way that you couldn't have enjoyed, you know, what he said, how he said it, and how he so nicely put the spotlight on the Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when he said, you know, there's nothing that I can say. I could cure a horrendous, debilitating disease, and nothing that I would do or say would make these Democrats happy.
And that's wrong. And I'm glad he actually said that out loud.
And he, but what was perfect was they were part of the play, whether they knew it or not, because they were playing the role of sourpusses.
Oh.
And when the camera panned, I mean, it was sourpuss after sourpuss.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all you saw.
With a little sign.
So they played their roles perfectly. And Trump, of course, played his perfectly. And yes, we are not tired of winning. So, look, Trump's trying to clean up some cities. I mean, one of the main things is the sanctuary cities and cleaning them up. You know, the job of getting illegal aliens that committed, you know, maybe child rape or murder. Maybe get, you know, really try to get them out of there. But instead, some of these city leaders, like that mayor from Boston, she is just downright nasty.
She was a mess.
How could you possibly care about your constituents when you put their lives literally in jeopardy?
Isn't she the one that went down the whole road of, well, you know, not all immigrants are criminals kind of thing? It's like,
she did.
Nobody said they were.
Right.
You're missing the point.
No.
That's why you're here.
They're not all criminals, but the ones that are, can you assist us in getting rid of them?
Yeah.
Let's go to the Davis-Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines, and good morning, Gary. You're on the air.
Morning, Bob. How y'all doing?
Great.
Hey, what you're talking about there, you know, the reason Trump does so well is because he's telling the truth. And when you tell the truth, boy, it cleanses your soul. It cleanses everything. You don't have to remember what you say like the Democrats do right now. And it was refreshing to see a leader, especially our leader, talk like that the other night. And I could not take exception to anything he said the other night. And, Bob, one other point, what you were talking about a while ago about the Democrats, guess who's going to float to the top to lead them? John Fetterman, of all people, who, you know, a year or 2 years ago I would have thought would have never done it, but he talks with more sense right now than any of them.
Mm-hmm.
Love your show, Bob, and go Gators.
Well, thank you, Gary.
He's
go
right.
Gators for sure. You know, you're coming at it from a common sense perspective, because I can tell you're a man who possesses that. No nonsense, straightforward. Mm-hmm. The point you made about Trump telling the truth, that does make it easy to talk when you're telling the truth. It makes it easier to debate.
Yep.
That's why he's so strong, because he's telling the truth. He didn't have to study up for it and wonder what's the right answer.
Right.
He gives the truthful answer, whether people are ready to accept it or not. But when you talk about John Fetterman, I agree with you that, boy, it was just a couple of years ago that we said, what are the people in Pennsylvania doing? And I never saw a stroke victim, you know, it turned out to be such a godsend.
Yes.
I hate to say it like that. I don't mean anybody any disrespect. I just, the guy has more common sense and sounds more normal and moderate than all the Democrats.
And who would have imagined that?
But you said, you know, who's going to float to the top? And that's where I disagree. Look, when they reached out to head up the DNC, they found this guy, Lau, L-A-U. He's a hardcore lefty progressive. He's going to lead the DNC. They don't see it the way we do. A normal person would say, yeah, you better get some moderates in there, and you better push in a moderate agenda, the kind of agenda that helped you to become elected and successful. You know, Bill Clinton, he didn't have that kind of hate and ugliness. And you know, the party at that time didn't either. But you see how divisive it is. And there's many in the Democrat Party that want that division to be even deeper and further. So, yeah, no, they're gonna push hardcore lefties.
Oh, yeah.
Which benefits Republicans. I think it was Jesse Waters talking to Lindsey Graham last night. He goes, based on how the Democrats are behaving, you guys should never lose another election. And Lindsey Graham kind of turned red and smiled and said, yeah, you're probably right.
Except Democrats keep voting this way.
Well,
there's that.
I think a lot of them have seen the light.
I think so, too.
Now, the onus is on Republicans to coalesce and deliver for the American people. If you can get Congress, or Republicans in Congress, to mimic the behavior of Donald J. Trump in terms of getting things done, man, oh, man, I see a bright future. 9 o'clock stretch coming up next on 97.3 The Sky.